one of the things that we've been doing here is listening to stories from right here in our midst about individuals who are engaged with Him and communing with Him and used by Him. So, because it's really exciting to read these Bible stories, and it's really exciting to hear stories that happened yesterday and last week and the week before from right here in our congregation. So I'd like to invite my friend Ivy up, and I'm going to ask her about an experience she had over, I think it was this last week. Was it during this last week, Ivy?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Okay, we'll say a couple weeks ago. So we've been talking about a relationship with God, about prayer, about God speaking, and you shared with me a story about how God used you in a very special way, and how it started with prayer. And I'd like you to tell us where your heart was before you began to pray. In other words, what was on your heart? How did you feel? What was on your mind? And what prompted that prayer? And then we're going to talk about a little bit after that about what you actually prayed, and then we're going to talk about what happened after that, okay? So let me ask you again, so where was your head when you started that prayer? What was on your heart? What were you wanting to express?
I was just wanting to express just how thankful I was for the Lord and everything that He's done with me and what His plan just these past years is. I just saw what He was doing to me, and I just felt just so thankful and grateful.
Okay. And so you were experiencing all this gratitude towards your Heavenly Father, and that's where you were when you started your prayer. And so what did you say in your prayer? Can you share that?
I said, Lord, thank You for everything that You've done for me, and I just want to be... I want to show how thankful I am. Please use me.
Okay. Is that powerful, folks? You hear that? She's dwelling on the fact of what her Savior has done for her, how her life has changed from that. Gratitude, an expression of gratitude, expression of praise. And then what happens next? She says, Lord, here I am, right? So you offered your heart to the Lord. And I think you used the word, I want to be a vessel, right? Okay. Anything else you said in your prayer that you want to share? Those are the basic ideas, right? The gratitude? Okay. Okay, so let's talk about what happened next.
So literally the next day... one of my friends, I started talking to one of my friends on Facebook, and me and her hadn't talked in years. And she started telling me a lot of personal stuff, and she said, not a lot of people know this, and she just went on and on. And I gave her advice and, you know, told her that I would be there for her, and, like, you know, she can always come to me, and that I'd be praying for her. And she just said, thank you, you know, you're so easy to talk to. And the end of the conversation, just we both felt great, you know.
And that night, you could have been surfing the web. You could have been watching your favorite TV show. You could have been sleeping. But you chose to pray. And it was born out of a relationship that you had with your Savior. Thanks so much for sharing.
Thank you, Ivy, for sharing that. You know, it's so wonderful when we can share with each other how God leads in our lives and the little experiences that we have. Because when we hear someone else sharing a testimony or expressing their love for God, I don't know about you, but it really charges my battery. And so we're going to give a little time later on to let the rest of you share a little story or an example or just express how you feel about God. You know, I realize that we can continue to go through the story of Moses, and truly it's one of those stories that has a lot more detail, really, than many of the stories of Bible authors or even people that the Bible is written about. And it's wonderful because not only was Moses a person, an individual, just like any of us, you know, he wasn't any saint or anything. So he struggled with some of the same things that we struggle with. And it's wonderful that he found it a blessing to share his testimony. Because, you know, he didn't have to. He was the one that wrote it. He wrote about himself. Biography kind of like, you know, I like that. And it's beautiful that we have these stories and these biographies in the Bible. So I thought it'd be nice if we just stop for a moment and not move on into the plagues and into the Exodus and just talk about this concept that Marty and Ivy were leading us into, and that is the expression or the feelings that we have about God. How do you feel about God this morning? Do you love Him? Huh? Yeah? Really? I mean, you know, we read about Him. We study Him. I guess if we can study God. But we do, right? We're supposed to. But we'll never know it all, right? But we can study Him. And we sing about Him, okay? Which I think beautiful music is a wonderful way of expressing our appreciation and our love to God. But the question comes back, do we really love Him? Not in an intellectual way, but in an experiential way. We were talking about this earlier out in the lobby. Marty and Reggie and I were just having a wonderful little Bible fest, you could call it, back there, and just talking about this very thing. You know, when you read the Old Testament, sometimes the Old Testament can be maybe even a little seems like it's a little bit harsh or a little cold, but yet the Jewish culture and the Old Testament are full. If you understand the culture and if you understand how they express themselves, you will find that it is full of expressions of individuals' love to God. It's just that the language barrier sometimes when it's translated comes across a little different. You say, well, how so? Well, let's compare it to the Greek language, which both languages I've studied and had to learn to read and write. And then, of course, I'm being a sociologist, sort of a closet sociologist. I like to study the historical and the society and the culture of the people, too. And you will find that the Eastern culture, which is the Old Testament biblical culture, was a culture that was a very warm culture, a very expressive culture. They expressed themselves, maybe not in ways that we would completely or totally understand, but the way they expressed themselves was often by writing poetry or writing a song. We call them hymns, but writing a song of praise or worship to God. And so you'll find that a good portion of the Bible is expressing love to God. Sure, there are stories of how God interacts with humans, but then there's also a beautiful portion that has to do with God or with humans responding and talking with God. By the way, I want to bring this to your attention, and hopefully Carol and I can maybe change this a little bit. Carol Spuler and I, in the bulletin, I thought I had one here with me. I do. There it is. If you look in the bulletin, you've seen this, and you've almost gotten to where you don't see it anymore. You know, when you see something all the time, pretty soon, you expect it to be there, and then you just pass over it. But if you look at our mission, okay, and then we have the paradigm or the little drawing there, the little flow chart, whatever you want to call that. And we prayerfully and carefully spent time over a period of months and years to bring this, to write this down or to draw this in a way that we could understand it as a congregation and as individuals. And you will see there that each step of the way, each step that we have gone through as individuals and each step that we've gone through as a congregation has connecting the little square boxes with knowing God, a little arrow, right? Now, if you look really closely, you will see that there's tips of the arrow going both ways. You know, what is that symbolic of? That our relationship with God is what? both two ways, right? It's God to us and us to God. Okay? So God loves us, and in turn we grow to love Him. So it was pointed out that if you take the prayer element out of this relationship, okay, the communication, which is, that's what we do in prayer, if you take the prayer out of it, what you have is a very nice example of someone who can be a very good person but doesn't know God. Okay? We could apply that cycle of a healthy church. We could apply that to anything, really. Corporate relationships, corporate dynamics, denominational dynamics, family dynamics. But every relationship that's going to be a healthy relationship, okay, a functional relationship, must have interaction. All right? There has to be dialogue. And he just got up and walked away when I said that. They know how to talk. I've seen them talk. Yeah. But the point is that if you take away the dialogue, if you take away the give and the take, if you take away the conversation, what do you have? You have something very, very sterile, something very bland, really. I mean, you can jump through the hoops, you can do all the right things, but if you're not connected to that person in a very real, meaningful relationship, and I'm going to add this, and if you don't love them, L-O-V-E, we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on. If you don't love them, then what do you really have? It's sort of a mechanical thing, don't you think? Love is so powerful. It is one of the dynamics that we on this earth still can maintain. I believe it's one of the little pieces of heaven in a sense. And we've distorted it like everything else that humanity has done. Everything God has given us, we tend to either use, abuse, or distort. But when we find the love of God in our hearts, when we understand His relationship to us and our relationship to Him, then we find meaning in our lives. We find a purpose in our lives. We find a direction in our lives. Okay? And so communication, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a corporation, whether it's a denomination or a church, communication is top priority. Top priority. And right up there with that communication is love. I don't know about you, but to me it's good news that when I read the passage that we've laid out this morning in 1 John, we find something very interesting, and to me it's extremely important. It's dynamic. It's powerful. And I want to remind you of what we read by starting at the end of the scripture reading, verse 19. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, "We love because He first loved us." When I was a kid, we used to get into this discussion. Actually not a discussion. It was a little bit of a competition. I love you. No, I love you more. I love you the best. I love you more than you love me. I loved you before you loved me. And it's interesting, when I read this passage of Scripture, I see God doing the same thing. He's saying, listen, I loved you first. Okay? And of course, even throughout Scripture, we could go to other examples where God says, I knew you before you were even born. I knew you. I loved you. Okay? By the way, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, you need to understand that the word to know is extremely intimate. Extremely intimate. Okay? And so, when God says, I love you, He means it from the depths of His heart. I love you with every ounce that I can express. I love you. And of course, we know John 3:16. He not only loves us, but He's willing to send His Son, the very best of heaven, to die for us as an example of how much he loves us. Jesus said, greater love hath no man that he what? Is willing to lay down his life. Very seldom are we required or called upon to lay down our lives for another. There's examples of it. You see it in the news every so often because we tend to emphasize the bad news and we don't look at the good news. But I can remember throughout my life of examples of people who showed love for total strangers, even when they lost their own lives. I remember there was an airplane that went down back in the 80s, crashed into a river back, I think was it Boston? I don't know, somewhere back there. And there was a helicopter that had a rope, and it was there first, and it was helping to get people by dropping this rope, and they would hang onto the rope, and they would be dragged over to the shore. And there was a man who was helping people that were losing their strength and their inability to tread water, and it was cold, it was winter. And he kept handing the rope to them, giving the rope to other people around him. And finally, he was the last one that was going to be taken ashore, but he didn't make it. You see, he was willing to lay down his life so that others might live. Greater love has no one. Great love. God has great love for us. And it's not the Greek concept of ginosko. Ginosko, the word know comes from ginosko. Okay, gno. Not a gnu, but a gno. You know what a gnu is. But to know someone in the Greek mindset, Greek culture, is to intellectually know them. Now, if you want to intellectually know God, then we take away all the prayer lines, the arrows, and you can intellectually know God. You can go through your whole life intellectually knowing God. You can study Him, you can research Him, you can come up with proof that He exists. But God doesn't want intellectual knowledge. He wants heartfelt knowledge. In fact, He even told the children of Israel, I don't want your offerings anymore. They smell. I don't want offerings. I want your heart. Okay? The equivalent of that today, I jokingly say this, would be if a woman really wants to marry a guy, I don't need a big fancy $15,000 ring. I love you. Just marry me. You don't need to have that ring, but that ring is a reminder. It's evidence of love. Okay? But I know of some people who've received some awfully big rings, not in this congregation, but in culture in general, some awfully big rings a few years ago, an awfully big ring, an awfully big diamond on it, and that marriage didn't last. You see, love is not based on the gifts necessarily that we give. Love is based on a relationship. It's based on a commitment. It's based on a willingness to give of self without even receiving back. And so, while we are yet sinners, before God even received anything from us, He died for us. Wow. Greatest love of the universe is Christ died for you. Now, I don't know how that makes you feel. I don't know if you can get past the intellectual part of that. Those are just words. So the question is, do you really feel God's love this morning in your heart? Mm-hmm. Because when we look at the story of Moses, we see a young man who, well, maybe not so young, but anyways, we see a gentleman who isn't quite sure that God loves him, and he's not sure if he loves God. You see, there's a lack of trust there. And when you have a lack of trust in a relationship, you really don't have a very healthy relationship, do you? Mm-hmm. And if that trust is only one way, all right, if it's all give and no take, that too is not a healthy relationship, and the Bible talks about being unequally yoked. That's what it's talking about. There needs to be a two-way dialogue, a two-way relationship of feelings and of speaking and of showing our love. And so we find Moses kind of halting and dragging his feet a little bit into this relationship with God. And God's trying to say to him, listen, Moses, evidence shows that I love Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, your forefathers. I love them. I love them. You know the stories, Moses. You know how much I loved them. You know the evidence of that. Well, I love you the same way. I am the same God. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, all your forefathers. I love you the same way I love them. Just trust me. And slowly, slowly we see that love beginning to grow in Moses' life. Love for God. In fact, it says in Hebrews that he was willing to actually identify himself with the slaves. Moses was willing to identify himself. He was willing to go back into Egypt knowing that he was going into enemy territory because he began trusting God. And God gave him ample evidence that he was the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This morning, we have no lack of evidence as to who God is and that he loves each of us. Because not only do we have the story of the individuals in the Old Testament, including Moses, which is, like I said, a biography of a love relationship between a God and a man, to the point where they had some pretty straightforward conversations. Believe me, I have shook in my boots to even think about talking to God like Moses did. You go read the story for yourself. God wants to talk with us. He wants to commune with us, to dialogue with us. And so the beauty of this relationship that Moses and God begin to establish, and it takes a little while, it has a slow start, but it grows to just an incredible relationship. As we continue to study the life of Moses, we'll look at some examples of how these two, God and Moses, how they dialogued and how they talked and interacted, and some of the things that happened between the two of them. It's a beautiful story. It's a wonderful story. I'm glad it's there. I'm glad that we have more information on Moses than we do on Enoch. You know, when I read this, you know, Enoch walked with God and God took him, I have to meditate for a while and think in my mind, what was it about Enoch that God liked so much that he was willing to just walk him right into heaven? And I'll be honest with you, you know, you really have to do some exegetical parsing and some hermeneutical stretching to come up with something to preach on Enoch. How many sermons have you heard on Enoch? Anybody heard a sermon on Enoch? Enoch's referred to over and over, just like I'm referring to him now, but we know so little about Enoch. But yet, he walked with God implies a very intimate relationship. There's nothing I like better than to see a couple out in the morning walking. Okay? And you don't have to be a couple to be walking with God. I saw a man the other morning. I know he lives up the street from me, but I didn't realize that he had acquired and was raising two very beautiful chestnut boxers, dogs. And I don't remember him ever walking them when they were puppies because I would have gone ape. I love boxers. Okay. I just love them. They're beautiful dogs. And here are these beautiful 1-year-old boxers, the most beautiful boxers I've ever seen. I had to stop. And I said, hi, how you doing? I didn't know you had, you know, boxer dogs. And we talked for a minute. I said, they're beautiful dogs, you know, and we talked about boxers and how loving and kind they are with children and everything, you know. But he was out by himself walking his boxers. Now you say, well, what's that story all about? I'll tell you what it's about. Now I don't know if he's a Christian. I hope someday I get a chance to talk with him, find out if he is. But whenever we are out and away from everything that distracts us from a relationship with God, whether it's on the beach, whether it's in the mountains, whether it's around the block, whether it's in your home, in your favorite chair, and with the Bible open, you are communing with your Creator God. And He loves to see you out on a walk, or even a marathon. We have some good marathon runners here. You see, we've got to break away from this Western Greekish concept that the only time that we can commune with God is one day a week in a beautiful building with stained glass windows and praise music. That is one of the ways to commune with God. One of many, by the way. In fact, your imagination probably can't stretch far enough to realize that God is willing and able to talk to us anytime, anyplace, anywhere. Now, I guess I have to be careful because I wasn't raised to believe that. But my Bible tells me that God spoke to people in many different ways, in many different places, including using a donkey to talk to a guy that was probably about as dumb as his donkey. All right? God will use whatever He needs to use to talk to you. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Okay? And the reason He has to do that is because we're constantly running away from God. We're constantly looking for other things. How long did it take the children of Israel to build the golden calf? Well, it didn't take long for them to say, well, Moses isn't coming back. I guess we better find us a God. If they had known God, they wouldn't have done that. But they didn't know God, you see. And that whole thing of, you know, do you know me and no, you don't know me went on for thousands of years. Until finally God said, hey, here's my son. Here's the ultimate example of how much I love you. They rejected him. And he had to reject the nation. Okay? He didn't reject people. He rejected a nation. Okay? Make sure you understand that. There's a difference. God wants you individually to know that He loves you. Okay, so having said that, let's take just a few moments here before we wind this up. Let's take a few moments, a few minutes if necessary, and if we have a... Where's the microphone? Marty, would you be willing to pass that around? How do you feel? Let me ask you the question again this morning. How do you feel in relationship to God this morning? And you can be as honest as you want to, because none of you are going to be... Well, I shouldn't say that, but I doubt any of you will be as honest as some of the Bible writers. I mean, David, on again, off again, David, you know. You never knew for one minute to the next whether he was going to be, hallelujah, Lord, you're so wonderful, you're so beautiful, I see you in the mountaintops, I see you all around me, to, oh my, why are the wicked blessed and I don't get any blessings? I mean, no, come on, that's David. That's okay. Who wants to be first to just share something in your life or just a testimony briefly as to how you feel about God?
Lexi does.
Okay, Lexi. Somebody volunteered her.
I do. Well, I had a kind of a crazy week, but God is in control. And how I feel about my relationship with God this morning is that I can do nothing apart from Him. And that every single area of my life, every detail, every job or schooling or place that God takes me is an opportunity for Him to be glorified. And unless I don't have my mind fixated on Jesus, if my mind is focused on the job that I'm doing or the work that I have at hand or the ministry even that God put me at, it's not in the right place. And God is just taking me on this journey of putting my eyes only on Him. And all of my desires, all of my focus, every bit of my energy doesn't go into the work but goes into Him, and then He is glorified.
Amen.
And He does it through me. So God is my ruler. He is the king of not just my heart and my mind, but He's the king of my actions and everything that I do. So, let Him rule.
Amen.
Today.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing the testimony. I think the young man next to you wants to share too. Matthew, go ahead.
I feel humbled just starting to understand how patient God has been with me throughout time. Even when, you know, I wasn't accepting of him or didn't want him to be patient or loving of me, I didn't feel, you know, worthy or didn't feel ready to accept that responsibility. He was there anyway. And knowing that and coming to terms with that now helps me to extend that same sort of patience and love to those around me. Mm-hmm. And knowing full well that it doesn't come from me, but it comes from God rather than, you know, anything I am.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anybody else want to share a testimony? Here's one up here. Okay.
I just feel thanks towards God because no matter how many times I run away from him or turn away from him or just completely reject his name, he's always right there waiting for me and always caring for me. And every time I have a conversation like this, I always think of the song 100 billion times, right? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of it, it goes, if you gave your life to love, then so will I, like you would again 100 billion times. Mm-hmm. You're the one who never leaves the one behind. And it's just crazy that if it meant that he had to, Jesus would have came down and died billions of times over.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And just the fact that when I think, oh, he died for us, and it's true, but it's not, because if it was just one person that needed to be saved, he would have done it for just one person, and he would have, if he needed to do it for each person individually, he would have, because mm-hmm. That's the God that he is. He wants everyone.
Everybody.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I thank
you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dallas. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Raise your hand. Just there. Karen in the back there.
I don't know if anyone else saw the sunset on Thursday evening. I, in my many years, I don't think I've seen anything more spectacular. Hmm. I happened to be in La Jolla, and I looked at the sky, and I said, I have to go to the ocean. So I drove down to the ocean, which is just a few blocks, and just, I was intoxicated. It was so beautiful. If anyone wants to see my pictures, I have them on my phone.
Put it on Facebook, yeah.
being there was just, it was God in a splendorous way. I don't know. He just reminds me of his presence so many times mm-hmm. with the beauty around me. And it's free. I don't
Amen.
Have to seek it. It's right there
Amen.
For me and for all of us.
Thank you. That was nice. Very nice. Anybody? There, right there in the back? No? No hand? Okay. Anybody else? Right here. Sebastian.
Hey, good morning. So, as you guys know, I'm a father. I've got three kids who are constantly trying and testing my patience and also at the same time filling my heart with so much joy and love. And every now and then, God reminds me that I'm his son. And there are plenty of times where I've tried and tested his patience, but every time I come back to him, I fill his heart with love. Mm-hmm. And the relationship that I have with my kids is something that I'm continually reminded to try and mirror my relationship with God and in being compassionate and forgiving and all the things that keep me alive and motivated and going are all things that I need to show to my children. And then also show to the brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's the longer it goes, the more I realize that example is the example And the goal is to, like Enoch, walk with God, to not have to worry about making decisions because your mind's already made up.
Amen. Thank you. That's beautiful. Nothing like kids to bring us into the reality of the relationship that God has with us, because we're like children. Let's just face it. Go ahead.
Well, I am amazed by God's relationship because, you know, as we get busy in life, I'm always talking to him during the day, but I may not spend time with him in his word so he can talk to me. But I'm so thankful to him and love him so much for when I don't do that, he still talks to me in whatever I am doing. I mean, secular or whatever. And I just praise God, and it's like, okay, God, I'm listening. I will spend more time with you. You know, it's just, it's not that I have to do this, but it's just I want to do it because he talks to me. And I just am so grateful to him, and I thank him for sticking with me and hanging on and keep seeking me out, whether I'm running around like a crazy person or not.
Amen. Thank you. Leave time for God to speak to you. When you pray to him, that's one direction. Give him a minute at least, or 30 seconds or whatever, to talk back. Okay? That's good. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm happy to be here. A few weeks ago, I got a surgery, and now I'm doing good. I'm feeling perfect and happy to be here with you guys.
Amen. We're glad to have you here. That's one of the things that really affirms each of us as the body of Christ, is when God works in individuals' lives and we sense that or we know that, it affirms and encourages us. Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to say about how God is a good, good father. That's Amen. How I feel, that he has loved me and told me things and told me that he loved me. Amen. And has given me that love to. That's why, well, that song really means a lot, or just makes me think of how he comes and tells us that. And that's how we can end up loving him.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. We used to sing a song. It still goes through my mind. In fact, it just went zoop right through my mind. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. Isn't that beautiful? Do you love to tell that story, or do you hide it under the bushel, you know? Tell it, man. Just tell it. Because, you know, really, that's really all we have in many, many cases. That's all we have, is to tell our story. And that's what the Bible is. It's individual stories of how people related with and to God. And if we want to, we could take all the stories here, and we could just, you know, add them to the back of the book here. Anyways, go ahead.
I'd just like to comment, you know, on what everybody has said, and that what I always keep in my mind, no matter what I go through, or we all go through crazy things, it does say, and Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So whenever you keep that in your heart, no matter what you're going through, you're going to get through it.
Amen.
Don't forget that one. That's one of the best ones.
Amen. That's right. That's right. Yes.
Okay, sometimes I think that, you know, God must be crazy. I had a job in Cincinnati. And I guess, you know, job was the kind of job where there was a lot of mandatory Saturdays and stuff like that. In fact, I was on the 4 to midnight shift on Friday, so I'd go to, you know, church on Saturday. And I was like falling asleep or something like that because I was so tired, because, you know, you work till midnight, sometimes later than that. And I guess God made me lose the job, wind me out of Cincinnati, and here I am in San Diego. I don't know what the purpose is yet, but I guess I'll find out.
That's, amen. Just keep asking him. Keep asking him. Yeah.
So, for me, it's the journey
you know, November 3rd today, I was telling Lexi this morning, and it's always a hard day. 5 years ago, I almost lost my dad on November 3rd. Mm-hmm. So I always think of, you know, as we sing about, you know, God's a good father. Yeah, he really is. Mm-hmm. Because he knew that wasn't the end of the story. Mm. Even though I thought for sure I was walking into the end of the story. Mm. So, and then it just, like, my life ever since that day has been a progression of constant reminders that, no, that's not the end of the story. Mm-hmm. Even when I think it is, and I think I've got it all figured out, guess what? It's not. Amen. And so for me, it's like just that constant thing of putting everything in God's hands and not being the type A person that I am. And that's his lesson for me.
Amen. Amen. See, we learn sometimes in the darkest hours, we learn some of the brightest lessons that we can ever learn. It's beautiful, isn't it? You know, I don't know. We're going to do this on a more regular basis as we're going through our sermons here in the next few months. I'd like for you to be thinking about something in your life that you can share a testimony with your family here. And I think all of us, we've all got testimonies. It's good for us to hear. Go ahead.
I would like to say a few words on my own. Well, sometimes I hard to express myself. So I decided to read what you had written on the book.
Beautiful.
It said, to fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek him, the greatest adventures. To find him, the greatest human achievement.
Uh-huh. That's, amen.
It's one of those, whoever wrote this, you know, it's a beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful statement.
It is a beautiful statement. And we can draw on other people's experiences that encourage us and also give us words that sometimes we can't express, you know. I like the song that we sang this morning, and one of the phrases was, "The lamp, light the lamp of my first love. Light the lamp of my first love." What was your experience at your first glimpse of what God was and what he meant to you? Ask God to light that up again. In closing, let me just read to you a passage in the book of John. And this is a prayer that Jesus prayed. and you know, we get so stuck in the idea that, well, Jesus is God. Yes, he was God. He was fully divine, fully God. And so why did he need to pray to his Father? Well, he needed to communicate. It was his Father. And his Father wanted to communicate with him. But here's a prayer that he prayed. And I want you to see if there's anything in it for us. And it's John, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 20. Says, my prayer is not for them alone. He's talking about the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's all of us. You see? They shared their message, and then that person shared it on down the line for 2,000 years to where it came to us. Okay? And Jesus prayed for that. And that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Jesus prayed that ultimately our knowledge and our desire to know him would lead to a loving relationship with him and with each other. Focus on that. Think about that. How does that apply to your life? How does it change your life? How does it reorder your priorities in life? Now you answer that. Lord, we thank you for the prayer that Jesus prayed for us personally. May we live and be true to that prayer to love you and to love each other. May we be willing to give our testimony to the world around us so that they might also love you. My prayer in your most precious and holy name. Amen.